In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The kings of Tarshish and of distant shores will bring tribute to him. The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts. All kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy, and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence. For precious is their blood in his sight.
Our first reading is from Exodus chapter 40, beginning with verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out, but if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel during all its travels. This is the second reading is from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 14. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in their heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Please stand for our gospel reading recorded in Luke chapter 2. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You may be seated. Thank you for this evening, our time that we can gather here to focus on you for a moment here at the end of the year. Lord, I know that we could be many other places right now, but we have chosen to be here at your feet to hear your word and Lord, to understand the forgiveness and life that you have for us. Lord, I ask that you would block out a few of the distractions that might be racing through our minds right now so that we can focus on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, I said that at the beginning of the service because I don't think I'll see any of you tonight when the new year comes in. I don't know if I'll see anybody when the new year comes in tonight. We'll see how it all goes, but I can go to sleep pretty easy, pretty early. But anyway, thank you for being here. This evening, as we look at God's Word, I mentioned that we're going to kind of piggyback off of our Advent series this evening, The Gifts of Christmas. We looked, and I took them off. I should have left them up here, but we had those little banners that we looked at for the Advent weeks. The gift of love, the gift of hope, the gift of joy, and the gift of peace. And I visited with a few people and said, you know, man, as I was going through that series, it almost seemed like, boy, this is kind of a downer of a series, because every time we turned around, you know, it was supposed to be joyful, but we talked about how things are not always joyful. We talked about how we're supposed to have hope, but there's sometimes we feel kind of hopeless. There's a lot of times when we want peace, but peace seems to be the farthest thing from us. And I was assured by some that, no, it was actually good because it put things in perspective. It was realistic. And I even had a gentleman that visited with us on Wednesday evenings that was from out of town that told me the last service, he said, thank you for that series. Because he said, my wife was diagnosed with an illness earlier in the year, and that really brought some clarity for him. And so while we looked at those themes and we did focus a little bit at what I would call on the negative aspect of joy and hope and peace, the whole point of it is to understand that now this evening, the gift that we're going to look at, the gift of Jesus, is exactly what helps us have that joy, peace, and hope, even in the midst of those trying times, those times where everything seems to be in turmoil, when everything seems to be hopeless. Jesus steps in and offers us joy, peace, and hope, even in the midst of those circumstances. As we looked on Sunday, we looked at Christmas presents, you know, Jesus being that greatest gift. And we looked at Titus chapter 3. And it talks about in verse 4 how Jesus appeared into our world. And if we really think about that, I mean, that very first Christmas, there was no celebration being prepared to celebrate for. I mean, there were no people rushing around to get the last minute presents picked up and, you know, the food all put together for all of the family that was coming over. Sure, there was a lot of commotion going on in Bethlehem with the census that was being taken and everyone traveling to Bethlehem, but no one was going to expect that the Savior was going to be born. He just appeared. Just like some of those Christmas presents appear under our trees, Jesus, our greatest present ever, just appeared. And in verse 5, it goes on and says, He came into the world and He appeared to save us. And it goes on and says, not because of the righteousness that is within us, but because of God's mercy. I mean, we're sinful people. We live in a sinful world and we need God's righteousness. And that's what the gift of Jesus brings to us. It brings us God's righteousness. And God exchanges His Son's righteousness for our unrighteousness and gives us forgiveness and the promise of eternal life. That's, as we said on Sunday, and I said as some kids might put it, that's the bestest gift ever. Right? And when we look at our passage for this evening, John chapter 1 verse 14, it says that the Word became flesh, and the Word is Jesus. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. I know that it's very important for us to remember, and I don't want to downplay the fact that Jesus appeared into our world to save us, because that was the number one basic reason why Jesus came into the world, to save us. But I say there's even more. It doesn't overshadow the fact that Jesus came to save us, but there's more, because Jesus came into our world to dwell among us so that he knows exactly what we experience. It's hard to fathom that God himself in the flesh of Jesus walked on this earth. But he did. And he walked on this earth so that he could experience all of the trials and the struggles and the heartache, the issues that we deal with. He walked in our shoes so that he would know exactly what we are experiencing when we go through it in this world. And I thought, God could have done that in a lot better way, couldn't he? I mean, couldn't he have saved us in a lot better way than sending his own son into the world? I mean, if he really wanted to, he could have just spoke the words and said, hey, fix those relationships between man and God. And it could have been done, right? Now, I know there would be some pastors out there arguing theologically and saying, no, because blood had to be shed, which is, we agree with that, right? Because when we read the Old Testament sacrificial system that was set up, blood had to be shed in order to atone for sin. But I say God could have even changed that if he wanted to, right? He's God. God's God, not us. But he chose to send his son into the world. He chose his son to be that sacrificial or that sacrifice for us in order so that he could experience everything that we experience. There's only one difference. He did it without sinning. He did it perfectly. He didn't complain. He didn't bellyache about certain things in that. He did all of that for us so that we would have forgiveness in life. As we go into the new year, I can assure you of two things. And no, it's not taxes and whatever else. I assure you of two things. The first one is this. You are going to experience some very good times in 2017. We all do, don't we? I mean, we have birthdays, we have anniversaries, we have baptisms, we have the birth of a child, we have all sorts of things that bring us pleasure and that are joyful. You're going to experience some of those in 2017. The second thing I can assure you of is that you're going to experience some difficult times, some heartache, some questions, some things that aren't quite so pleasant. And regardless of which circumstance you're faced with at any given moment in time, know this, that Jesus appeared into our world to walk with us, not to leave us here alone and on our own and by ourselves, but to walk every step with us. That's the greatest gift of Jesus. Jesus himself coming into our world to walk with us. The Old Testament reading pointed to the fact that Jesus, or God, made his dwelling among the people in that tabernacle with the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And it's always a little bit ironic to me that some people would want to say that Jesus doesn't physically present himself to us today. But he always has. He's always come into our world in a physical way. And we get to experience one of those ways this evening. As we come forward, we will receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. He comes to us personally this evening, not only in his word, but in his body and blood to assure us of the forgiveness in life that we have. I pray that as we enter into a new year, I know probably people's minds are already racing. What's the new year going to be like, you know, with the new president and everything? How is all that going to work out? Maybe some of us are thinking about our own personal circumstances. How are some of those things going to play out? Know this, that the Lord's with us. Jesus is with us. And it will work out however He plans for that to be. And He will assure us of the forgiveness and life that we have in Him. I pray that this 2017 will be a good year for each of you, and also that it will be a great opportunity for us here at St. John. As we will see tomorrow morning in the service, we're going to look at Christmas lights. That's one of our main purposes, is to be a light into the world, into what is most of the time really dark and filled with evil and violence and unbelief. That's what God has called us to be, is the light into that dark world. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We stand for our prayers. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this evening and for our time here that we can gather to focus on your word and Lord, to, as we would say, bring in the new year with you first. Lord, we ask that you would be with all of those who are sick and struggling, those who are faced with challenges each day. We ask for healing to their bodies according to your will, and give them patience as they deal with their illness. Lord, we also ask that you would be with all of those who are traveling this holiday weekend. Lord, bring safety to their travels and return them safely to their homes. Lord, we also pray that as we prepare to come to your table this evening, that we come in a worthy manner, discerning the true body and blood of your Son. And Lord, that we leave our sins at the foot of the cross, resting in the assurance of the forgiveness and life that you have for us. We pray all of these things and any other petitions that we have in our hearts and the words you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We pause for a moment to reflect on the past year and just our sinfulness before God and our need for His forgiveness. We confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, I assure you that all of your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated. Please stand. We join in our closing prayer in Luther's evening prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night, for into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We remain standing for our closing hymn. Before